shit kitchen. Some guy shit his pants.
All right,
at that party.
I'm doing it.
You! Get your hand out of your pants.
Please put your tray table up. Put the crack pipe down.
You're the least without sin person I know.
Errol, we are on the air right now.
No, I was digging for gold.
That's what's eating Gilbert Grape, my friends.
Well, listen, call me casual, but I love to take my time.
I don't know where your head ends and this weird turtleneck sweater begins.
Speaking of which, whatever happened to that porn star you were dating?
Oh my God, it's huge.
And now,
it's West.
By me and West.
This is episode 24. It is Monday, July 8th. I'm Chuck Anchori, broadcasting live from Los Angeles, California.
I'm Errol Gribble. I'm broadcasting from Lansing, Michigan with my new pop filter.
And we have our
Rob Hubbard, our producer. Go ahead.
Broadcasting live from Milwaukee.
Wisconsin. Look at the give and take. How you doing this week, Rob Hubbard? How you doing?
What? He's cracking
Rob's
over.
Getting wasted. What is that? Natty Cal Light?
Getting going with a peeber.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't you live like right across the street from the brewery?
No, not that one.
Listen, there's a bunch of people in this room that love you, Rob, and we don't want to see you go down.
I wrote a little something.
This guy's drinking a PBR. All right, man.
What is this? Your drinking makes me angry. It makes you dumber, which we don't need. So if you could put down the beer, maybe we could bring back the love.
We can get on with the show. This is West by Midwest. Please subscribe, stream, and download the show on iTunes and go onto our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/WestXMidwest every week. We will post the link to the live show on Google Plus Hangouts, and you can watch us live as we record the show. You should also stick around for this week's guest, Joe Davis.
This week we have Joe Davis, world famous improvisational artist on the show.
Motor City Improv Master.
So stick around for Joe.
Really funny guy.
Yeah, before we get to the cool people, how was your week, kids?
Yeah, happy belated 4th of July, gentlemen.
Happy berated 4th of July.
Berated? That's racist, man. Are you on Big Brother? Who is this guy?
I did nothing. Just the least uneventful 4th I've ever had, so it's not worth mentioning.
That's not very American of you, Errol.
You know what? To do as little as possible is pretty American.
Actually, you're right. Yeah, no, I stand corrected. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
To be an American,
I was lazy.
Sitting around.
Did you get blown up?
Close. I mean, I went to a barbecue in Orange County, and there are cities in Orange County that fireworks are legal. So
Just like in Lansing.
Oh, really? So you can – I mean, these fools had that professional stuff from China, you know, blowing it up in the streets. 20 kids running around. It was crazy.
Talking about fireworks or drugs at this point?
Both, I would say. It's the fourth. Trying to enjoy myself. But no, I mean, seriously, like, this was like blow your hand off type fireworks in the middle of the street.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I know that was not legal when you were here in Michigan and Rob
exactly.
and I growing up. But the last few years, it has been. So people, you can drive down the street and just see, like, look up in the sky, and there's just...
Yeah, like the real ones. Like, I mean, not the ones that you buy from, like, Walmart or whatever, like sparklers and...
Right, they just stay on the ground and shoot
up. No.
The rooster. Like, did you ever see the rooster?
The purple rain. Forget it, dude. It's not that, right?
It's like strains of marijuana.
Yeah, the real stuff. But, I managed to survive, but it was kind of cool to see, like, those ones blowing up right in the street. But yeah, it was bad. You know, like, there were a lot of DUI checkpoints here in LA, and I was reading today that over 490 and counting DUI arrests in LA over the 4th of July weekend.
Oh my
God!
It was
the entire weekend, man. We were all just driving drunk everywhere.
Yeah, that's 490 and counting. That would be the entire city of Lansing. That'd be like my whole city just hammered.
Yikes!
Yeah, that's...
yeah. It was a war zone. People were driving drunk.
You weren't driving drunk driving, were
no,
you?
No.
I mean, I'm drunk driving. Like, you weren't drunk driving, were you?
I might.
Come on,
would you mind? We're going to need both you, Errol, and Rob to take breathalyzers tonight. Jesus.
Seriously?
What's going on?
Wagon.
But yeah, no, I was fortunate enough not to be taken out by a firework or a drunkard 4th of July weekend.
And yeah, lots of people got blown up, though, yeah?
Oh, yeah, dude, in Simi Valley here in L.A.
Simi Valley.
Yeah, that sounds right. Sorry. there was that tragic fireworks situation.
Yes.
Where like almost 30 people went to the hospital because one of their like stands tipped over and just blew up a bunch of fireworks close to the ground. The crazy thing was that explosion happened and it was still like 250 feet from people, almost 300 feet from people, and they were still like totally just like burnt to shit and like.
Did you see the fire? Did you see the explosion?
I mean, I saw a video of it, you know, on YouTube.
That shit's
it was crazy.
I can see that happening. Thank God I stayed inside like a grumpy 80-year-old man.
These fools here in California can't get anything right. Last year in San Diego, all of the fireworks went off at once. It was like a 30-second fireworks display because there was a computer error every single firework that they had at once.
Good stuff. That's
obviously, these people here.
And you're going to legalize marijuana. We'll see how that goes. So speaking of explosions, the crunchy chicken enchilada melt. What is this?
Filled with Fritos.
It's at Subway, though, right?
Subway. It's not at Taco Bell. This is a sandwich at Subway, packed with shredded chicken in enchilada sauce, melty Monterey Jack cheddar, and crunchy Fritos in a flatbread at Subway.
What's up, Jared?
Jared, you know, Jared's done, man. He's retired. He doesn't give a shit anymore. He's getting fat and giggly.
Fuck, seriously.
He is getting fat and giggly off of Subway money over the last 20 years.
Like, Jared's gonna. He's just like, hey guys, you know what you should do now? Just put fucking Fritos on the fucking sandwiches. Seriously, man, Hyon was like, man, we could put the Fritos in the fucking sandwich.
They do have that at Taco Bell. But,
they do?
They have like a burrito that has Fritos in it. However,
You've done it, right?
I've had that, sure. But
growing up, bologna sandwich, Fritos.
Yeah, bologna boats filled with Fritos and mashed potatoes.
Oh, gross.
No, that was some girls telling me about how the cafeteria ladies in her middle school made these things called bologna boats that were bologna with mashed potatoes and cheese, like, you know, that like block Velveeta cheese. They would just like put that on the mashed potatoes, and then they would throw they would wrap it up like a little burrito, and then throw those in the oven and bake those up. And it was like a lunch, like every Wednesday, bologna boats, dude.
That's fucked up. That's the day you don't want to get your fucking sandwich.
Getting kids fat.
I can't. I even packed my lunch. I can't even blame like the American lunch system for making me fat. It was my own personal choices.
Well, I made the choice of trying to call my local Subway and seeing if they had the crunchy chicken enchilada melt.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
And this guy was like, "What the hell are you talking about, man?"
Like, this is what happens when you're like you're ahead of even the franchise. You do this all the time. You were telling me how like the Daft Punk song "Get Lucky," which is played all the time. You're like, I can't even fucking listen to that anymore because when it comes out. When you get it, because it leaks 2 weeks early, you listen to it for like 48 hours straight, and so before it's even out to the public, you're like, fuck that shit, it's old.
I hate it. It's over.
You have a real problem. Between the three of us, I think we're doing okay. You're way ahead of the mainstream. I'm sort of floating in the middle.
Kind of,
Rob Hubbard is just like living in the 70s. Right. Yeah. Like he's stuck in an age before he was born.
There's no rush for anything.
No rush.
Including your responses, apparently. All right. I'm just kidding.
Wait, so Errol, you just came from the green room earlier, right? Just before this?
Yes. The green room. Ann Arbor. That is right. So for folks who've been listening, they know that I corrupted some Christians tonight. My friend Scott Crownerov, he's a fellow actor and he's a pastor. He runs a little Christian church / movement thing. They meet in like a barn. And they're a little, you know, they're a little on the edgy side. They're a little more sort of hip, like to think. But he let me do the fucking message tonight.
How did that go?
Oh my gosh. I know, it went really well. I talked a lot about like living in the moment and
breathing.
Breathing. I gave him a little like diaphragm breathing, which I almost threw in like a diaphragm joke. That didn't go over well. Let me just tell you there right now.
Like the woman's contraception diaphragm?
Yeah, I was like, so you actually use your diaphragm to breathe. And I'm like, everybody, you know what a diaphragm is? And I was like, it's not what you think, what you're thinking. And I was like, I mean, it's, there's children out here. It's good stuff.
Kids are going to love it.
But it was fun. I don't think I corrupted as much as I was worried I was going to, or Scott was worried that I was going to. It was a lot of living in the moment, which artists, as you know, as we do, which also Joe Davis can talk about a lot. The man's an improv artist, right? Improvisation is nothing but living in the moment and throwing it out and being on your feet. So we talked about that and how, like, artists and actors, you know, they do their best work. Like, all of a sudden they're sort of in the moment and something flows through you that's bigger than you.
Yep, and that's called Jesus.
It is, or if you're in prison, it's called, his name is Biff, and don't turn around. Speaking of which, your new episode of Bad Porn came out, too.
Bad Porn, episode 3. Check it out, we'll post it on the Facebook page, but yeah, I think we forgot to post episode 2.
Chuck gets he gets his Gentiles waxed.
Gentiles, yeah, Andre, my character, has to... a little bit of Manscaped. Rob, did you watch the episode this week?
I did not. I apologize.
Oh
my god!
It's 3 minutes long.
You just found out. See, this is what I said. He's like living 12 weeks ago. Nobody tells you.
There's no rush. I'll see it.
You'll get to it.
Rob's like, hey guys, did you hear about this new video? It's called David Goes to the Dentist.
You guys have heard of Keyboard Cat, haven't you?
Chocolate Rain, my new favorite song.
A New York nun gets jailed for stealing $128,000 to feed her gambling addiction, Harold.
What?
Growing up, I had the pastor at my Catholic church, the one that I went to growing up, where I was, had my communion, had my confirmation, all that garbage. He ended up disappearing for a while because he had to go to rehab because he was an alcoholic, you know, drinking only wine.
Wow.
And I was always like, what's going on here? But this was like,
you don't even use real wine, though. You use grape juice.
I feel like there's still a little bit of alcohol in the wine at my church.
That's vodka.
That's vodka. This guy's mixing with vodka. It's sangria, all right? The nuns made it last night. But yeah, and this was, you know, growing up, there were some molestation charges, but nothing like, not from my church, but just not like in the news, but like every day you hear something about...
Oh, I was like, you got touched, didn't you?
No, I wasn't an altar boy or nothing. but yeah, but nowadays, you know, like all these priests are just under fire for, everyone's coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, but the nuns are clean.
The nuns are usually clean. That's what I was about to say. I mean, like they might have something going on, but they keep it under wraps, not like Sister Mary Ann Rapp. From St. Mary's Church in Holly and St. Mary's Church in Kendall, New York, from the years of 2006 to 2011, the 68-year-old nun gambled away all that money, $128,000, all pilfered money, at a bunch of grubby casinos in Western New York. She wasn't even going to Vegas. She wasn't in Sin City or nothing. She just...
Right. Just some dude who's like, all right, $10 a game.
In Detroit, a suspected domestic violence was really just a man farting on his girlfriend.
I'm sorry.
And
what?
When I read this headline, I was like, oh, that's just Daryl. Oh, wait a second. That wasn't...
No, all right. Just for the record, my lovely girlfriend farts on me a lot more than I fart on her.
What? Okay. The truth is here.
We're a free-flowing relationship.
I haven't been around Lynn's, but I've been around a few of yours. And
no, because she doesn't, she only does it to me. Like, she keeps it in. She would hate, clearly it's out in the public now, but like, she's discreet, except around me.
Sure, but I categorize your flatulence as violence, violent assault.
Oh, yeah, that's assault.
Physical, violent assault. On all my senses, so.
Rob, do you remember the time when we were hanging out? You were a kid. It was like the first night we spent at our friend Josh's house. The two of you, you were both gentlemen. You gave me the bed. You guys were sleeping on the floor. I'm still convinced there's some homoerotic thing that happened while I was sleeping, but
probably
I was like, you guys farted, and it
literally shook the house like an earthquake.
Yeah, the two of them were doing like a fart contest on the floor, and I was like, oh yeah, watch this.
Wow. Yeah, and like the you were in the basement, and the ceiling was shaking and all that garbage.
Dust falling from the ceiling.
Yeah.
Knew it.
Paint peeling off the walls. But seriously, so this guy, tell me about this guy.
Yeah, I mean,
How did this happen?
Well, it took police mere minutes to arrive at the apartment complex, just a few seconds. And it only took a few seconds to sniff out that the fact that there was no domestic violence taking place at all. She was just really just yelling at her boyfriend to stop farting on her, and to her neighbors, it sounded like she was being physically assaulted. Screaming for life.
Oh, man.
Because obviously this guy passes gas like...
Have you ever farted on your girlfriend?
Everyone has, dude. It's hilarious.
No. Oh, that's so... I've farted around her. I've never farted on her.
Dude, that's funny, man. Like, big spoon, little spoon, and then just fart on that leg or something. You know what I'm talking about, Rob.
I have dropped a few on Katie.
Oh.
Once or twice. She doesn't like it.
Clearly.
<it's> funny.
You're two steps away from a domestic violence call.
I know.
So English profanity, which we use a lot of. And
a lot.
We have this episode we've used more than we did last week. English profanity earns its place in the standard German dictionary.
Which word?
Well, the English profanity shitstorm is so widely used by Germans, including Chancellor Angela Merkel, that this country's most prestigious dictionary has included it in its latest edition.
Germans love shitstorm.
Yeah, Nicole Weifen, head of communications at Duden, which publishes Germany's standard dictionary, says that it is used a lot in a lot of print and online media, as well as in a whole host of other contexts, so it is really relevant for the German language now. Yeah, they define the word, here's what threw me a little though, they define the word as a storm of indignation expressed via the internet, sometimes accompanied by offensive comments.
So, you wouldn't find, I mean, like Angela Merkel says it?
Yeah, Angela Merkel's like, yo, did you see the shitstorm that happened on YouTube? Or like, did you see the Twitter shitstorm that happened? Like, that's when they use shitstorm.
That's so funny that it has to be related to the internet. That's hilarious.
Right. The English meaning in the Oxford English Dictionary just says a situation marked by violent controversy.
Right.
But no, the Germans are like, no, it's like their new internet word. It's their meme. Shitstorm's going viral.
There's a lot of shitstorm on the internet. It makes sense, but it's weird that they just narrow it down specifically to stuff on the internet where lots of shitstorms happening, you know, like some, like, you know, Hitler and all that. That was a shitstorm. Am I right?
Right, but no, that's not a shitstorm to the Germans.
Apparently not.
No, but that Hitler video, man, that caused a shitstorm. An internet firm, actually, speaking of the internet, has made tampons that can hide alcohol.
Wait a second. Is this what you were talking about last week, where people were soaking
in
alcohol?
No. That was something that you and I discussed privately. it wasn't like on the podcast. What Chuck's referring to is we don't have a life outside the podcast anymore. Like, we just think every time we talk, it's on air.
Everything is just melting together, dude. I don't know what's real anymore.
Nothing. Yeah, Chuck and I were talking about this urban legend that teen girls were soaking tampons in vodka to get drunk at school and not have them be caught.
Smell like right? vodka, yeah.
Right. Or like have vodka in your breath, right.
Right.
But and there was like a story about it on HuffPo. And
just
it's
a complete shitstorm on HuffPo's about people.
It's just a total
saying...
internet vodka tampon shitstorm. And it's not...
Debunking
it's not
the,
real.
Yeah, debunking the urban myth, right?
Yeah, in fact, they actually had a reporter from HuffPo try it herself, and she was like, it burned like, I think she said, it burnt like the Dickens.
Whoa.
And, she said it caused her tissue to inflame, and there was severe burning. continuing for quite some time after the tampon was removed. And plus, you only get like 1.5 ounces of vodka into a tampon anyway, so it's not like... Anyway, so that is not what this is, okay, kids?
Yeah, those are, obviously, those weren't heavy flow tampons because...
No, that was... No, they were heavy flow, all right? That's... You get yourself one of them heavy flow tampons, fill it with vodka, you tell me how much you can squeeze out of it, all right?
So the person that made up this rumor that you can soak your tampons, she succeeded in getting one fool to do this. Or he or she.
Right, the person who made up the rumor, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got one idiot from the HuffPo. But this is not this. What they also probably inspired was this whole new line of products. Smuggle Your Booze, right? This company, Smuggle Your Booze, has designed a bring-your-own-bag collection, which allows people to sneak alcohol into venues and events. And their novelty items included in the collection, they include fake tampons, sun lotion bottles, and booby bags, which can be hidden inside a bra. The company explains, at a concert, festival, beach, fair, or sporting event, our product is there with you. The new and convenient way to bring your beverage of choice to any event, anywhere. Our products have been tested and have gotten into all events listed above undetected. No hassle.
Okay, so let's bring this back for a second. This BYOB collection of...
Yeah, BYOB.
The fake tampon. Okay, so we were talking about 1.5 ounces. I mean, like, how many ounces of... You're getting a shot? Tampon?
Like, I mean, if you got a booby bag, you'll probably need two of them. So it doesn't look like you're Quasimodo the lady. But you mean like the tampon one? I don't know. I didn't see a picture of it. But no, it's gotta be, you know, like you're gonna get at least as much as like a, I don't know,
1 ounce, 2 ounce pour maybe. I wouldn't even say 1 ounce.
I mean, is it really the size of a tampon, or is it like...
Well, if it's going to look like a tampon, I mean, obviously, and girls aren't going to, they don't carry a full box of tampons in their purse, so they'll probably have two, three.
They're four reusable booze cubes. They do,
Okay.
Girls carry tampons.
No, so yeah, they don't carry a box.
No, but like they carry 20. Like four of them or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. So does it say how much?
One shot. Yeah, so it's one shot.
I mean, that'll do. You got four shots. You're at a Vince Gill concert. You're gonna be good.
The problem is when you start like mistaking, you like rip open an actual tampon, or you like grab a real sunscreen bottle. You're like, whoops.
Oh, that tastes disgusting. Like.
That
tastes like
SPF 17. That's banana boat.
The girls have it so good. They've got they can stuff all sorts of stuff in their bra, right?
The clothes and me have a very unique relationship. There's not a lot of breathe room for things. You know, like I might be able to like hide a tampon in between like one of the folds of my stomach.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
But like I'm not, you know, I don't have like breathing room in my pants to shove something down there.
I'll get you some sun lotion bottles so that you can smuggle those into your next
festival.
Oh, there
you go. But what am I going to keep it in? Like, we don't carry... What am I going to start carrying? A man purse?
A merce?
Plus, I don't... Well, here's the real question. Have you ever done this? You don't, because you don't drink, right? Really? And I don't drink anymore, but...
Well, I went to a music festival last summer. I'm going to again this year. And they were really, really tight at security. I had a small... wooden vaporizer, and I could tell that they were just like finding everything on people. I mean, they were like searching people down, and I literally put the vape under my nutsack in my underwear, my boxer briefs.
Oh,
and I got it through. But
nice,
yeah, they.
Nice.
I mean, what did you have you ever smuggled?
Yeah, well, that's why. Like, this seems a little out of control. I mean, I guess it's because. Yeah, certain concerts or whatever, the security is higher. But, like, for me, it was just about, like, going to the beach or, you know, rehearsal for children's theater.
Oh!
Or church, whatever.
You know, the green room about 3 hours ago.
Oh, no! Come on, I'm living the clean life, kids. But, yeah, back in the day, it was just a matter of, like, it wasn't hard. You mixed... whatever alcohol with whatever juice, and you put it in like a sports bottle.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of...
I didn't need to, like, throw on a bra and put some fucking vodka titties on. Like, I didn't need that.
A lot of these venues and concerts and stuff, yeah, you can't bring anything unopened in. Like, you can't bring in an unopened pack of cigarettes. You can't bring in, you know, open containers of Gatorade / vodka.
/ Everclear. Oh, well, it's a good thing I don't leave the house. Well, it's a good thing I don't drink anymore. There you go. I think we should bring our guest on.
I think that's a great idea.
All right.
Okay, so here at West by Midwest, we have a very, very awesome guest this evening. He's a Motor City improv master and a good friend of the show, Joe Davis, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Davis.
Thank you.
He's a good friend of the people who run the show. I don't know if he's a good friend of the show.
Well, you are keeping me up late, so...
Yeah, sorry, man. Hey, thanks for being on the show, brother.
You got it.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Not a whole lot. I just aged during your tampon discussion.
Happy birthday, Joseph Davis.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Yeah, getting old is fun.
No, it's not.
It's really working out well for me.
Well, it's funny because it is working out well. You've lost, like, well, this is a long time ago, right? Because I first met you when I met these two at Jackasses in college. And you've lost a considerable amount of weight. You look svelte. You look
sexy.
Looking
good.
Thank you. Yeah, I lost 53 pounds since November.
Wow, congratulations.
Nice work.
Thank you.
What are you on? What are you smart?
It's just meth.
You do live outside of Detroit, so
I do.
Romulus.
It's just I've got an app on my phone, and I it's called Lose It, free plug.
All right.
Yeah, and it's basically just counting calories. I don't really exercise that much.
So every time you eat, you just throw it in there, and it's like, you have 6 calories left to eat today.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I tried to. I'm trying to do this diet called. It's like a fast where you only eat like, what is it, like 600 calories a day,
two days
a week. Yeah, so you basically starve yourself for 2 days.
That's
insane.
And
then you can eat whatever, the hell you want for the rest of the days.
Well, you know what it is, because I went really scientific on it because I'm a nerd.
Yeah, that's good.
It's basically this guy did this study, and it's just basically it's calories earned versus calories burned. That's it. Like,
he had
a diet where it was, I think it was all like, just like a Twinkie-based diet. Like, it was all just shit, essentially.
Oh, my God.
And, like, he kept his calories below, you know, whatever the number was. Like, so, like, below 2,000 calories and still lost weight. So, like, the low fat and all that, it's just shit. It's all calories.
Yeah, it's a very simple concept.
Yeah, it really is.
If you burn more than you take in, you're going to lose weight.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well,
I don't do. I've got the first part of the diet where I eat whatever I want.
There you go.
I'm like fasting days down.
Well, you look great, Joe. You're looking good.
Thank you.
It's funny. Not that you were like morbidly obese in college or anything.
No.
But you were chubby, and I remember seeing you at a party, and like I would go to a lot of like Eastern parties, and I was like, who the fuck is this kid? He's like, he's not attractive. He's not a good looking man, but he brings home like these beautiful women.
He does it.
And now you married
one.
I can't
wait for my wife to see this.
Right? That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
He stayed with the most beautiful one that he found.
I did.
That's right.
Yeah. I can't wait to the part of the podcast where she literally bursts into the room and hits me over the head with a frying pan. Do you get ratings?
Does she have to get up early?
No, we don't.
But at least
we don't even have listeners.
This podcast will be played in courtroom proceedings, I'm sure. So
that's right. It'll be the biggest audience we have.
Right. 12 people watched it at my murder
trial. That'd be great.
Evidence.
Yes.
Joe, you were the first, my first friend in the theater department. I remember I rolled up to auditions for dance auditions.
Yep.
And I was like, what the hell is this shit? Yeah. Turned to this guy next to me, Joe Davis. And from that,
a friendship was born.
We hid back there because we couldn't do any of the moves. Or I couldn't do them. I was like, I didn't do this shit.
Well, it was.
Remember the first time you met me? and you were just hammered, and you just kept repeating A-R-A-L, A-R-A-L, over and over again.
No recollection of that. Was that at Rob's house?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that at the first showing of Zeptasia?
Probably.
No. No, it was before that. It was the year before. Okay. It was when Rob had just started the project, in fact.
You should put that on YouTube and link
it. Isn't it on, Rob? Isn't it on YouTube?
There's copyright issues, so nobody can see most of it.
That's a shame.
Robert Plant is suing Rob Hubbard for everything that he has.
Disney really gives a shit about your fucking dope tape.
Right?
It's all algorithms.
It's all algorithms.
Nobody's actually seeing it.
Dull algorithms these days.
The algorithms are like, hey, that's not right.
Does not compute.
You know, last week, Michelle was talking about Michelle Arroy, another person that we all Joe, Rob, and I went to college with. She was talking about a story about how we all came home from a movie once, and someone was having sex in the theater house, and we were like, was that Rob? But
was that you, Joe Davis?
Davis? I believe. I believe that was Joe. We were coming home.
I don't remember that. Again, as we know, I was drunk through most of college, so.
Yeah, well.
I don't think so. If it was anybody, it was probably Eric Shark. Probably having sex in my room, in my bed.
Oh, sure. While
it
I was playing.
It wasn't you.
While I was
no, not that I know.
Mario Kart. While I was sitting there playing Mario Kart right next
Rob to him. Rob is just playing Mario Kart next to him, crying softly.
We're going to have to make this a West by Midwest mission to find out who was having sex at the theater house when we all came back from Batman.
If there's any listeners out there.
Batman.
Yeah, they're
watching
Batman.
Which Batman was it?
That's what Grover said. I don't know which one.
I don't think that this story has a lot of merit, because if you will take note, well, you can't see that I'm surrounded by comic books, but the first Batman came out in 1989. And then Batman Returns was when I was still, I think it was when I was in high school. Yeah. And then the third one I actually saw, because I dressed up and went to the theaters.
Who'd you dress up as? The Penguin?
Go fuck yourself. It was actually the Riddler, because I was really excited, and then I went into the movie and watched all my hopes and dreams just dashed to bits by Joel Schumacher.
That's what he does.
Let's get back to the Adam West days. That's when it was really purist.
Well, what about Batman and Robin? Was that, when did that come out, 97, 98?
Batman and Robin, it could have been Batman and Robin.
That's what we were coming home from.
Okay.
Why the hell did you go to the movies to see that? That's what I want to know.
You gotta have the whole set, right?
We didn't just bring Joe on to reminisce the good old days. He's actually a very successful and talented improvisational artist who has his own improv company, right?
Yes, the troupe's been around since 1999, which is a little before me.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were still in college, yeah?
Yeah, I was still in college.
Batman came out in theaters.
Okay, all right.
I was having sex during Batman. I did a little improv in high school, actually. In college. And we actually won a Players Award for it, an Eastern Michigan Players Award for a show that myself and Jeremy Anderson, Will Myers, and a few others did.
Will Myers, who's doing sound for Tuna Does Vegas right now.
For who?
For the show that I'm in. It's called Tuna Does Vegas at Williamson. Yeah, he's doing sound for it. He's fucking awesome.
Oh, no kidding.
Anyway, sorry.
We did a show there, and it worked pretty well, and I always had the bug, and then a friend of mine said, you know, you should do... Well, actually, before that, I auditioned for the Second City, having never had any formal improv training at all. It went exactly like you'd expect.
Yeah, I did that too, and it went worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like some Herald thing, and I was like, I stepped forward, and I was like, but I'd like to touch my nuts. I'm gonna back up now. I'm just gonna back up.
Yeah. It didn't work well for me either. And they basically said, hey, you're terrible at this. You should take some of our classes.
Take a class?
Yeah.
Why don't you take a class?
Well, I was. I mean, it was totally insulted by the fact. Like, I've been working actor now. I've been for, like, 2 years, or at least a few years then. And and decided, like, hey, you know what? This is just this whole audition was a ruse to get classes and
schools. Right, right.
The guy that I drove with to the audition, or that I told about the audition, he got in and is now directing at Second City. Two of the people that I auditioned with got cast, and then have now gone on. I see him doing national commercials all the time. One of the guys on a farmer's commercial all the time. I guess it really did suck, because, like, half my audition group... maybe it didn't suck so bad, but half my audition group, like, got hired, so...
Yeah, I didn't really looked really bad compared to them, yeah.
It was a worst-case scenario. You know, it's like, basically, it was the cast of Who's Line It Anyway and me.
And you.
Right, right.
Yeah, I lost out to Wayne Brady. That's how that story ends.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but yeah, I started doing that. So Motor City Improv was around then, and a lot of people who've performed with them have gone on to bigger and better things. And so I had a troupe, and we just kind of mushed it together and took the name Motor City Improv, and now we're doing it our way.
Now, very cool. Was Motor City Improv the troupe that you had that melded with them, was that the troupe that you had while you were at the Improv Inferno, which was an improv place in Ann Arbor?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. I didn't really have a troupe. I mean, I was part of the home company there the Improv Inferno. And it was the Improv Inferno was pretty cool. It came out of the Annoyance Theater in Chicago, any comedy nerds out there who really give a shit. Came out of the Annoyance Theater. A guy named Dan Izzo moved to Ann Arbor because he always had a dream. He went to University of Michigan and always had a dream of starting his own theater, and so he went out there and started one up. And the flagship show of that, but kind of the thing that brought him, was a game called the Damnation Game, which was like a combination of it was a combination of like the Match Game meets Whose Line Is It Anyway, and it was a lot of fun. It was really cool. It's a great format.
See a group at Improv Inferno called Project Pangea?
Okay, here we go. All right.
Sorry.
He doesn't even remember. The Improv Inferno is where I put up my improv hat, where I just walked away from any dream of being an improver. We were there for the fundraiser for the tsunami.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the 24 hours
and,
of improv.
Yeah, y'all did 24 hours of improv, and we were there.
I was there for the whole 24 hours.
You were there?
Were you? Jesus, yeah. You're a trooper.
No sleep.
I did sleep. I slept in the basement for like 15 minutes, so that's probably when you were performing.
No, you actually were. You were there with us.
Was I?
Yeah. It was funny because it was like worst case scenario, because we went on at like, it was like 3 a.m. or something, or 2 a.m. Yeah. It was right as they had to take the drinks off the table.
Oh, right,
So it was like
an hour or something, right?
Yeah, so people were like, oh, I was drinking that. Fuck you. And so they're already mad. And then they go up there, and, you know, it was like me and my friend Isaac Ellis and Laurel Hufano and a few other idiots who had done stuff at the network, and we'd performed at the Performance Network sometimes for, like, fundraisers for them. And And, like, you know, it was for friends and family, you know, perfect audiences. You could literally, like, stand on stage and pull your pants down, and they're like, oh, my God, it's genius. Right.
That's one of my signature moves.
Yeah, right. So we went on, and it was like, okay, so we'll do your format first, which was – ours was games. Yeah. And then you guys will help us and perform with our team and do, like, a herald, which was the second half.
Teamed everybody up with some of the house troupe, right?
Right. So we had you and I can't remember who else. And I felt so bad. First of all, I showed up just blazed out of my mind. And I was like, I'm too high to even talk. How am I supposed to do improv? And – you were busting your ass trying to make us look good. Just
wow.
Like, there was a moment. I mean, you were. It was funny because every time Joe jumps on, it's like laugh, ha ha ha, and then one of the Pangea kids jumps on, and like somebody looks like they're ready to throw like fucking shoe at us,
like, tomatoes,
right, George Bush style, and right. It was a good time. I was like,
well,
I'm done. I think I'm
glad I can make you look good. I'm sorry, I don't remember it.
No, yeah, you were awesome. It was funny because literally there were times when, you know, we were doing the Herald and, like, it was like my turn to jump up there. And I think once it was with you. I literally jumped up, stared at the audience, and jumped right off. That was it. I was I'll be back.
I do remember. It's like there was a Sherpa or something. It took place on a mountain. Does that make any sense?
If you expect me to remember any of the plot that happened, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, well remembered by everyone, so.
Sure, sure. So, yeah, but that's when I was like, wow, Joe Davis has got his shit together. He knows what he's doing.
Well, yeah, it's great. It's something I've always been built for. Like, I'm terrible at memorizing lines, or I think all three of you have been in shows with me, so you know that's true. I'm terrible at memorizing lines, and I really like doing, I've always liked rehearsal more than I've actually liked the show.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of cool because, like, with improv, it really gives the opportunity, kind of like a, like they talk about, like, in the early days of punk, like when, you know, it's like, oh, man, I saw the Sex Pistols play. They were drunk out of their minds. It was a show. There were four people in the audience. It was, like, the first time they've ever played, and it was amazing. And I was there. I was fucking there. Right. And that's kind of like what I try and do with improv is it's like this thing where, you know, if you go to see a scripted show, you know, there are little differences here and there, but essentially it's the same show over and over again.
Yep.
The thing with improv, I mean, it's there and it's done, you know.
Yeah.
I always equate it kind of like to music because that's kind of where, you know,
it's like an etch-a-sketch drawing.
Yeah, yes, as I remember you being an etch-a-sketch portraitist.
This is what weed will do to you, kids. Rob Hubbard ends up wasting his life on Zeptasia, and I end up turning into a fucking etch-a-sketch artist.
Yeah. Well, I came to weed very late in life, actually, with the two of you there, actually.
Rob,
that's true.
Rob and Chuck.
You were there.
George Clinton concert in downtown Detroit.
Movement Festival.
Movement, yeah.
How do you not smoke at a George Clinton concert?
That was my logic. Okay. Right. I had Rob as my roommate the whole time, you know, who would come in very much often, like...
yeah.
You know, like Scooby from... Or Shaggy from Scooby-Doo and scrolling. My favorite was one night he came back super stoned, probably from your house, Jeff. Came in and I was almost asleep, like the lights were off, you know. I was just kind of lying there in bed, and then I hear the lights go on. He's like, "Oh fuck, shit!" And then turns the lights off. I was like, "Oh hey man." He's like, "Oh sorry," and then trips over something and goes to turn the light back on to find out what he tripped on. He's like, "Oh fuck, sorry, shit, sorry." And I was like, "Just leave it on, dude. Just leave the light on. Just put it all out."
It's true, Rob. You're the only person I know who's often unintentionally a giant asshole. Like the nicest guy I know who does the meanest thing.
He's like a baby. He doesn't know any better.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't know any better.
He doesn't know any better.
He's so cute, though. Look at him.
Exactly. You can't stay mad at him.
Yeah.
Even then, I was oh, this is going to make a great story one day.
This is amusing.
Got a thing called a podcast, and I'll be able to embarrass Rob on it.
And eight people will hear it.
Yeah, I'll embarrass him in front of, myself.
Myself and maybe my wife when she listens earlier or later. Yeah. So
Joe, you've always been built for improv. I feel. I mean, like even early on, like when Rob and I, we would try to write these little rap songs, and
you would
bust in on it. Rob and I always just performed our written out lines, while you would perform the third verse just completely. Improv, like you didn't have anything prepared, and you just totally busted it out, and you were just a genius at it. It was awesome.
Well, thank you. I've always been that way. Just making up songs and stuff. I mean, it's just kind of it's funny because my mom said that the first time she saw me do improv, she goes, "Oh, it's great. Now you're getting paid to actually do the things you got in trouble for when you're in school." It's like
exactly.
Yeah.
So speaking of which, what are you guys working on now? What's Motor City Improv doing?
Well,
how can we make sure you get paid more?
Well, what we're doing right now is back in the old days of Motor City Improv, it used to be just kind of straight up improvisation, and then we kind of got this idea to do this new style that we call Detroit style comedy. And it came out of me having a really bad day and finding a wiffle ball bat at work. And it came out as like, look, dude, this is the new game. Like, it's going to be called Get a Laugh, Get the Bat. And I'm just going to go up, and if we'll do a scene, and if somebody laughs at you, then somebody on the back line just fucking nails you with the bat. And they're like, oh, I don't know, this is a bad idea. I don't think this is going to go over well. I mean, I don't know. So I hit someone with the bat, and he's like, that hurts, but it's not awful. And I said, okay, cool. So we kind of started doing this game called the Bat Game. And that kind of, we started building a style kind of around that, like these, what we call death-defying games. Like one is where somebody has their head in a bucket of water, and two people are doing a scene, and then when the person in the bucket can't breathe anymore, they raise their hand, they get tagged out, and they go in to do the scene, and somebody goes with their head in the bucket.
What, you're waterboarding on stage?
Seriously? No, seriously, I did. I got waterboarded for a photo shoot. And it is as bad as it seems, as it sounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's horrible. I didn't even have the cloth. It was just, like, them pouring water over my
face.
I had my head back, and they were just pouring water over my face. And it was awful.
This is extreme improv.
Extreme improv. That sounds amazing.
Our favorite game, the one that anytime we start a new venue, we always do one that has become kind of legend. And it's where we play a game called the Alphabet Game, where one person just says something that starts with letter A, and the next person sits and starts with letter B, and so on and so on. But we play it blindfolded, barefoot, and we cover the stage in mousetraps, live mousetraps.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Oh my god!
It's fun to watch, but it fucking sucks to play. and so that's what we kind of started doing. So we started at the Park Bar in Detroit because we thought it was really something that kind of fit the town. Like it was really kind of down.
Yeah,
in Jersey.
Yeah.
It
fits that location really well. The Park Bar does a lot of sort of fun, gritty things.
Yeah. And it's a rock and roll club. That also does theater, and so it was really cool. And we kind of played on that vibe, and now we're at a place, we're at a nightclub in Ann Arbor called Live. Yeah, it's right down, it's on First Street, I think it's First Street.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be called Live at PJ's, and so now we're down there, and so we've got a really... It's a really great space. It's really cool. Plenty of space for waterboarding. Yeah, that's where I'm not sure. The next game might be once we build trust. We're able to play the water torture game, what we like to call it, because there's a lot of expensive electrical equipment there in the water. It's funny because
not so much for people's health.
No, not at all.
Right.
I don't give a shit.
Right. You want to drown yourself? Go for it. That's
you want information?
Right, exactly. The real risk with that game is less than actually drowning is electrocution. Because I was playing that game when we did it the last time at the Park Bar, and I had my head in the bucket, and I, come out of the bucket, and somebody yells, okay, ends the scene. And so I just go and grab the microphone, dripping with water.
Oh, no.
Yeah, thankfully somebody cut the sound. They were like, oh, shit, what is he doing? And just turned it off, and I didn't realize, that was a real potential for death. That was awesome.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So you got to be careful when you play that game.
So go see Motorist and Improv. You can see laughs. You can see death.
Yes, absolutely. There is a chance, just a little chance of death in some of our games. And then the next,
awesome.
Yeah, the next one is at the end of July. We're doing the deal we worked out with Live is that we do a show once a month, usually the last Saturday. So this next one is July 27th, and you guys can go to facebook.com/MotorCityImprov, and all of our dates are up there. And plus, we don't bombard you with too much ridiculous bullshit. Things, little funny clips we find, or if we find jokes, we put them on there too. So it's fun.
Yeah,
The page, kids. Like the page.
Please like the page.
Just like the page. You can unsubscribe to their updates, but just like the page.
Yeah. Hide us from your newsfeed. That's fine.
Whatever.
Whatever. Just like the page. We're up to 500 likes so far. So
nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
Well, it sounds like an amazing, amazing show of or evening of.
Yeah.
Ridiculous entertainment.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's like nothing you've ever seen before.
Yeah.
Awesome.
This line isn't anyway. Whose line is it anyway?
This ain't Wild Out.
Right. This ain't Nick Cannon Wild Out.
Yeah.
All right. This is some real improv.
Although I would love to play the back.
So, go ahead.
What?
I would love to play the bat game with Nick Cannon.
Oh, God. That would be the best day of my life.
Yeah.
After just watching, to watch you play the bat game.
Yeah. It's fun.
With Nick Cannon.
Yep. Worth the price of admission.
Yeah, so because you're a wonderful improv artist, we thought we would throw you, we'd put you on the spot tonight.
Sure.
And we're such idiots, we couldn't even think of a game. But so there's a game that I would play with kids that I'm sort of teaching acting and stuff to in improv. It's
okay,
the basics.
Sure.
It's called what is it? Either expert or professor or something, where you get a topic and you have like a minute or 2 minutes to just extemporize about it. So
yeah.
we thought we'd do that to you.
Sure.
Chuck, do you want to give him his... We're going to make it a little harder. You're going to both have a character and a topic, but you only have to go on for 1 minute.
Okay.
So, Chuck?
Gotcha.
Yeah, so your character is... You're the man who farted on his girlfriend.
Okay, from earlier.
Stop farting on her.
That's right, that's right.
And your topic is the definition of the word shitstorm.
Or just a shitstorm in general.
Or shitstorm. What is a shitstorm?
What is a shitstorm?
Yeah. All right, Rob, give him the sign, Rob.
Give him 60 seconds on the clock.
60 seconds on the clock.
And 5, 4, 3.
Oh, God.
It's great to be on your show. It's pretty cool. I don't want to talk about a couple of things from the show. One is the shitstorm that we just had, which was huge, and everything I own is now covered in shit, including myself and my wife, who is also covered in shit. You may have heard some things about my wife and I that frankly are not true. One was that I beat her, and that's not true. And you can ask anybody, you can ask my neighbors, because they all know that I'm just a farter. It's how I do, it's how I roll, it's what I am. It's, I'm that guy, right? Okay? So all this fucking shit, okay, doesn't mean shit to a fart. Wait. Okay, no, so first of all, it wasn't domestic violence, right? Because technically farting is not a crime, it's natural because of God. And then the shit, I mean, I don't know. That's like Jesus stuff, like Old Testament, like shitstorm, right? I mean, I can't be blamed for that. I mean, how do you even know it was my fart? Because, I mean, everything smells like shit because of the storm. So if that's on me, then whatever. Because of Jesus and America and farting.
That's got to be a minute. Is that a minute?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you. That's my finest work.
Davis, dude, that's work. Rob would have
let you go for like 2 hours.
Yeah,
well, he had about 3 more seconds to
did
go.
Did I have 3 more seconds?
Oh,
he was paying.
That's the stand-up. That's the stand-up in me.
That's right.
The stand-up comic.
Leave
Speaking
him
of, of stand-up, you do some stand-up, right? Ed Grabo has left a comment. He said he went out. He said he went to see Doug Stanhope in Novi.
Oh, yeah.
And you were the opening act.
You opened for Doug Stanhope?
I did. I did open for Doug Stanhope, and it was one of the most amazing. That's a great story, actually.
How much time did you get?
Not a lot, because they oversold the show.
Okay.
Whoops.
And there was 2 shows, and he went long because he doesn't give a shit.
Right. He hooked you on Doug Stanhope.
Yeah, right. It was an amazing show. So I go up and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Like, I love Doug Stanhope. Like, actually, Doug Stanhope is the first person I wrote a fan letter to.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Because
Freddie Mercury?
Not Freddie Mercury. He was already dead by the time I was writing fan letters. But, you mean go look at Freddie Mercury?
Right there, ladies and gentlemen. On
there
Google.
He is.
Deal with it. But no, I had tuberculosis. That's fucking ridiculous. I had bronchitis.
I had rickets.
Yeah, I have rickets. It's scurvy.
Whooping cough.
It's some whooping cough. The consumption? No. Anyway. So I was really sick, and I put in the movie. If you haven't seen it, The Aristocrats.
Okay. Yeah.
And his version of that joke is just amazing. And in the special features, they have just him telling a joke.
Oh, wow.
And so I put that in, and I literally was laughing so hard I coughed up blood.
No.
Yeah, and so I was like, you know what? This guy has to know this. This guy needs to know that he made me laugh so hard I coughed up blood. So I shot him a, you know, an email through, I think, MySpace at the time.
MySpace,
yeah. And he fucking wrote me back. He was like, I was like, oh, you laughed so hard, you coughed up blood. Like, it was great. He goes, oh, thanks. I was like, shit.
Nice.
Yeah. So I end up, flash forward several years, and I get the opportunity to open for him.
Wow.
And so I'm like, here's this opportunity. This guy's awesome. Like, I love his stuff. Like, he made me cough up blood. I'm gonna bring out my material, and I'm just gonna really just blow this guy away. This is gonna be awesome. This is a chance for me to shine.
Yeah.
So I get up there, and being an improviser, like, my take on stand up is a little different. Is that, you know, I do have material, I've written material, but then I also go and play with the crowd a lot. So sure. I go up, and before I even get the stage, this guy goes, "Hey, what up, faggot?" I was like, "Okay. This is how this show's gonna go."
Whoa.
And they were drunk and they were rowdy, and so I just like grabbed the mic, like just full stride, didn't even stop, just grabbed the mic, and I was like, "So let's fucking talk about you." Yeah. And just went at it with this guy, and you know, he had some friends, and I was going at it with them, and I was just fighting hecklers for my whole probably 10-15 minutes I was up there, like,
oh,
just
God.
Like, and I mean, it was vicious. And
dang.
So I come off stage, and I'm just like, fuck, like, I can't believe this. Like, I just, you know, I had this opportunity to really show him, like, what my jokes that I crafted,
right.
And oh, shit. So I come off the stage after he does his bit. He comes over, he goes, "Hey, man." He goes, I really liked the way you handled all that this earlier. I was like, oh, thanks a lot. He goes, yeah, I like your shit. He goes, it was really funny, man. You really went at it with that guy. I was like, oh, well, you know, felt like I had to.
Yeah.
It's my job to take the bullet. You know, he shut the fuck up after that.
Yeah,
right.
And he goes, "Yeah, I want you to open for me the next time I come to town." I was like, "Oh,
yeah.
Holy shit, that's awesome."
Yeah, and then he never came back.
Well, you know, he's not dead yet, so.
No, he's not. Although, interesting side note to that story, that was the night where Doug was up there and he's doing his thing, and he gets a phone call, and he actually took the phone call on
stage.
And he goes, "Wait, what? Is that true? Fuck, yeah, no, I'm on stage in Detroit right now. Yeah, no, I'll tell everybody. All right, cool. Thanks." He goes, "Yeah, so Richard Jenny's dead."
Oh, my God.
That's how I found out Richard Jenny had died, is that Doug Stanhope told me from the stage at a comedy club.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, that nowadays it'd be Doug Stanhope tweeted, "Nelson Mandela is dead."
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
crazy. it was really crazy, and it was like, you know, he goes, "Yeah, sorry about that." He goes, I just felt I had to say something. He goes, "Probably only the stand-ups in the back of the room know who this
Richard
guy
Jenny.
Is." But he goes,
"Yeah,
yeah,
oh, come on."
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it was a weird crowd. Yeah. So.
Stanhope, man.
Yeah, Stanhope.
Man show,
amazing.
Right?
Yeah. Did the man show. I mean, he's an interesting cat, that guy.
Yeah.
That night, I can't confirm it, but I'm pretty sure he was on a lot of blow.
Yes.
Yeah, wow. Chuck,
yes.
Yeah.
Chuck gets really excited about people who have drug problems, apparently.
Oh, yeah. He loves, Chuck loves drugs.
Chuck loves drugs.
Just
so are you still doing any stand-up? Is there any, do you have anything coming up?
No, I retired from stand-up.
You did?
I did, yeah. It's, but you know.
Until Doug Stanhope comes back into town.
Until Doug Stanhope comes back into town.
Right.
Well, actually, for a while I kind of got this reputation that, you know, I was a pretty good opener. And so every once in a while, national acts, they would, like, the owners or the bookers would have me come in and do it. And I got the call. It said, you know, "Hey, Joe, listen, Gallagher's coming."
What?
Yeah. So we want you to open for him.
Yeah, we heard about your crowd work at the Stanhope show.
"We love what you did with that, telling that guy to suck his own dick. Do you think you can handle Gallagher?" Yeah, so I get the call to go to Gallagher. I'm like, oh, fuck. So I call my friends. I'm like, "Dude, opening for Gallagher. I can't believe it." I was like, it was really this is surreal. Because I remember as a little kid, like, watching, you know, specials at HBO.
Yeah,
and I'm like, this is good. Oh, this is awesome. I called my sister, and she's like, "Holy shit, no way." So I get everybody fired up. You know, they're all lined up to buy tickets and stuff like this. Then I get, a week later, I get a phone call from the booker. And she's like, look, I don't know how to say this. And I'm like, oh, Gallagher's dead. No. I get this phone call. She's like, yeah, look, I don't know how to say this. Like, we were going over everything with Gallagher's people, and we mentioned that we had you opening, and that you're, like, our house favorite or whatever, and we're really excited about it. And Gallagher says, yeah, I don't use an opener.
No. Aww.
I'm like, what do you mean you don't use an opener? He goes, no. My show runs like this.
Oh, my God.
I have an hour's worth of meet and greet before the show. People come up. I'll sign stuff for them. I sell photos. You know, I sell, like, my shit. You're right. I sell my merch. I got my little fucking, you know, bucket of shit that I bring out. Little watermelons. I don't know what the fuck.
Oh, my God.
And I do that. And then I go up on the stage. I do my thing. I hit some watermelons. And then I'm in the car and I'm out. And I was like, oh, okay, well, shit, I got some phone calls to make.
Right.
So, like, you know, all over Facebook, like, calling my friends, like, hey, look, I'm not opening for Gallagher.
Yeah. Try to return your tickets.
You're right, yeah. So the night of, I get a phone call. It goes, oh, you know what, we do need an MC. It's like to tell people, like, how things are going to go down. Can you make it? I was like, sorry, I'm booked.
Fuck you, Gallagher.
fuck you, Gallagher.
I'm opening for Carrot Top this weekend.
That's right. Do you know that Gallagher has a twin brother? Gallagher has a twin brother. Or had a twin brother. I don't know if he's dead. But anyway, Gallagher
he
has a twin brother.
One of the shows.
Right. Well, Gallagher retired. So Gallagher 2, Gallagher, his brother,
no
Gallagher,
way.
Yeah,
no
went
way.
Out and toured as Gallagher.
No!
Yeah.
This is like Kevin Kline and Dave. Like, this is...
Yes, exactly.
Mind-blowing.
It's a lot less important.
Right. So then, like, Gallagher, like, sent out a cease and desist and, like, fuck you, don't do this.
On his brother?
To his brother.
On his brother, yeah. And so then Gallagher went out, like, Gallagher's brother went out as Gallagher 2.
Oh.
And, like, did the same act. And so I don't know if there was a lawsuit or what it was, but now if you go to Gallagher's webpage, and I don't know what it is, but if you go to Gallagher's webpage, like, the first thing on it is, I forgive my brother. It's so weird.
I thought it was going to be like, if you see a guy going around that looks
right.
like me.
Smashing watermelons.
Yes.
You smash his face in.
You check for the seal. Check for the authentic seal of approval.
Everybody thought the guy with the sledgehammer was just full of love.
Yeah.
Turns out he's a real cocksucker.
Oh, he is batshit crazy. Like, he is legitimately, like, has a diagnosis, I think. Like, he is fucking...
He has to be.
He is bananas.
Well, you can't be balanced to be like, I got an idea. I'm gonna fucking put some fruit on stage. I'm gonna hit it.
Well, I mean, that shit made him millions. Like,
I know.
He was a millionaire off of, like, the Sledge-O-Matic and that shit. Like,
oh, right. Jesus.
Yeah, playing stadiums, for God's sakes.
Jesus.
God damn
it. Are we talking Gallagher 1 or Gallagher 2?
This is actually Joe Davis 2. My twin brother is an improviser, and I am a stand-up.
And then, wasn't there, didn't Gallagher, like, have, like, a heart attack or something?
Was that one
or was that 2?
That was 1. 2, okay. I guess. I think 2 finally, like, stopped pretending to be Gallagher. I don't know. I don't know how that worked out.
He was served... a summons inside of a watermelon.
Turn in your wig and your sledgehammer. You're finished. You'll never sledge in this town again.
Well, speaking of sledging, we should sledge the fuck out of here.
All right.
We've kept you up way too long.
Yes.
I want to thank your wife for letting us have
exactly.
you this late.
Thank you, Carly.
Thank you, Carly.
Yeah.
She is the best.
Yeah.
Without her,
remind us again. Sorry, without her, you wouldn't have
said that too. that too.
Much nicer. That's much nicer. Remind us again about Motor City, where we can, with the Facebook page, and when we can see you.
MotorCityImprov.com, Facebook.com/MotorCityImprov, or July 27th, which is a Saturday at 7 o'clock. Tickets are $5. Or if you find one of our posters, and take a picture of yourself with it, post it to our page, and tag yourself in it. You get in for free.
There it is.
Cool.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just $5 to watch us kill ourselves for your enjoyment.
Which sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Awesome.
If you haven't seen it, come out, and the only one that I could really guilt into it is Errol, because otherwise it would involve plane fare.
Chuck's got to fly.
Right.
And
Rob would never be able to find it, so we won't make him come.
I'm here to watch Improve.
Yeah, I'll be there. It sounds like a blast.
Yeah, sure.
It is.
That's awesome. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Errol, if you ever want to try your hand at it again, okay. I've learned my lesson.
No, go ahead. What do you have?
We've got a group that opens up for us called El Dorado Time Machine.
Oh.
And they play in luchador masks, and every once in a while they have guests who come and perform with them.
With the masks on?
Well, you could wear a mask if you want. It's kind of a thing. it's great. It's kind of like they're a little more straight up improv. They wear masks and they're not the violent ones. I don't know how that works out.
It's weird.
They're not as cutting edge, but Errol's getting pulled by both ends here. Go comedy and Motor City Improv pulling Errol.
Did not ask me to come on.
You're back in the game.
Go Comedy does have like a karaoke night kind of thing where anybody can come up. Like my grandma could go up there and do some improv if she wanted.
Your grandma should come to a Motor City Improv show and then we'll get her up on stage.
Okay.
Although last show we had another Eastern alum, Dennis Brunzel.
Oh.
Did comedy hypnotism at our show.
I was going to say, world famous hypnotist.
Comedy hypnotism. Yeah, it was great.
I'm afraid to have him on the show because I don't want him to like turn into a fucking chicken or something.
Yeah,
it's
going to hypnotize
us. You know what's so funny? I don't know how it got started, but everybody that I talk about hypnotism goes, oh, they turn anybody into a chicken? Like everybody.
That's classic improv. Or classic.
I guess.
Hypnotism.
It's weird.
Well, thanks again for being on the show, man.
Absolutely.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, Joan, happy birthday.
I am humbled and honored that you spent the start of your birthday with us.
Absolutely.
I'm a little ashamed, too, but, you know.
That's okay. In 7 hours, I have to be at work.
God. All right, let's get this out of here.
Yeah. Friends, jump on Facebook. Like us at facebook.com/WestXMidwest. You can go on to Twitter. Our handle is @West_X_Midwest. You can email us. I know, it's real easy to...
That's a hell of a handle.
We're idiots. It sure is.
You can email us at WestXMidwestPodcast@gmail.com, and you can watch this show with Joe Davis on our YouTube channel. Just search out WestXMidwest, but most importantly, stream, download, like, write a review of West X Midwest on iTunes. Thank you so much for listening, you guys, and thank you, Joe Davis, for being here, man.
You got it, buddy. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Definitely. Yeah. So I'm Chuck Ganchori.
I'm Errol Gribble. On behalf of Rob Hubbard, this is being
West
by Midwest. See you next week.